B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
High school esports, as popular as football? You're kidding me. Welcome into Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, could VR be the future of home exercise? Plus, E3 is doing some massive restructuring of their show. We're going to talk about that. Those conversations are coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Play versus a system that we've talked about many times here on the show has announced, what have they announced exactly?
So they've announced that this coming year, starting in October, their program is going to be available to all 50 states, schools in all 50 states, to begin developing high school esports programs.
Well, because technically it was sort of like a beta pre-flight program before
they
this.
Did season zero last year.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And we've had Delaine Parnell, the head of Play Versus, here on the program before about it. You can find that conversation over at our website, checkpointxp.com. But I think this is really interesting in the way that, like, people are reacting to it.
Yeah, I mean, Norris, we were looking at it earlier. They've got, like, something like, how many millions of dollars was it? Like, something like...
They're up to, I believe, 96 million.
Wow.
That is because of the Series C funding.
Yeah, that is a huge amount of money being invested into high school esports. But what's got people excited is how many schools are actually on the waiting list to be able to do this program and start having esports in the at high school level. 13,000 high schools across North America are currently on the waiting list. By the way, only about 14,600 do football.
That is incredible.
Also take into consideration the participation rates that we're seeing in esports clubs, there's probably more students ready to join those esports programs around the nation than there are playing football.
See, and you hit the nail on the head, because for football, you run, what, roughly 22, 25 person roster, something like that?
If
you
depending on the size of your high school. Yeah,
depending on the size of your high school, that's pretty much what you'll do.
Sure.
But for an esports program, you could have anywhere up to 50 kids and still have, you know, room to spare. Because you can, are you playing League of Legends? Are you playing Overwatch? Are you playing, depending on how many games your esports program is playing? Now, I know for Play Versus, League of Legends, I think was probably the first game that they would be rolling out in Season Zero,
sure,
if I recall correctly. But to have a saturation rate, or at least as many high schools interested in this as high schools are doing football currently, I think this is an absolute bellwether for where the future of the industry is headed. And if you got people doing this in high school, this is something that they will carry with them into college and into adult life.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fans are made young. Yep. I mean, you know, we're all fans of esports. We started liking video games at a very young age, but esports wasn't, you know, even competitive video gaming wasn't a thing when we were growing up, when we were, when we were in even high school.
No,
it was
the only competition
still so.
Back then was who's going to have the first player controller.
Well, right. Who's got next? Who's got the next quarter?
Well, there were competitive elements, but they were hyper-localized, right? That was the thing, especially for somebody like me coming out of FGC. Everything was super, super, super local. You play people in your city. You play people on sometimes just your side of town or at your one specific
mall. Your arcade.
Yeah, your arcade. So as it became a little bit bigger and it started to grow with us, you started seeing more investment, obviously. But I think what we're seeing now, in the same way you see people really interested in, like, supporting small business, I think you're starting to see that happen too when it comes to esports.
Sure.
Because you go smaller, you go younger, you go more
local.
You go more local.
Yeah.
And if you could start creating esports rivalries in League of Legends between high schools, you know, in, you know, Modesto, California.
Absolutely.
That's the type of stuff that are going to get people to be esports fans for life.
Well, and I think PlayVersus is in such an interesting position here, because if you have that much saturation, if you have that many schools competing, and you have an easier way to kind of bridge the distance gap, then you have a you have an even more competitive environment than you have at football. Now all of the you know, the criticisms of esports that kids don't learn the same thing from esports that they do from traditional sports, and listen, I'm right with you in terms of the physicality of things, but in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the competitiveness and the you know, having the will and the drive to succeed, you are learning all of those through esports. And I'm sorry, but no amount of like, yeah, but it's just not sports, is not going to get that done for me. And it's wonderful to see, you know, scholastic programs, educators, and high school, you know, administrators on the same page as that.
But beyond that is that, you know, there's always the argument of, well, oh, they're still just inside playing video games. And what we've seen through collegiate programs like Utah and USC and UCI and others, excuse me, is that, you know, physical health and mental health are a major part of those programs.
Absolutely.
They still want people to be healthy. They still want you to exercise. So these are things that are going hand in hand with your esports program. So that argument is becoming more and more moot as well.
You know what this sounds like?
But the biggest
another
thing,
another victory for America.
I agree with you, but the biggest thing that I want to highlight as to why schools should get involved in this is it's cheap. It's cheaper to
relatively,
it is cheaper to invest in an esports program than it ever will be to start a hockey team, football team, baseball team, golf team, whatever. It's cheaper.
Well, what's the logic behind that, though, when you need like these rigs to be able to play these games?
But if you do an investment of rigs of, let's say, $8,000, right? Because you could do it. You can, especially for something like League of Legends, which doesn't require a lot of power to run.
Right.
You set up a LAN. Let's say your total investment is $10,000. Dude, first of all, you could get sponsored for that. That's number one. Number two, you could do all sorts of drives, money drives, food drives, all that stuff, sell bagels, whatever kids do in high school nowadays. And on top of that, you can also but for traditional sports, you have to make that investment every few years because the equipment gets broken.
Yeah.
Equipment gets old.
Yeah.
You have to travel, which is another huge expense for schools, too.
Not to mention that gaming rigs, I mean, most high schools already have a media center, and a lot of the things that, you know, that would be used for high school esports can kind of double up there. But what we're talking about is structured competition and the value of it. Because, like you say, you can learn competition, you can learn teamwork, you can learn sportsmanship all through esports without the risk of, by the way, concussions.
Yeah.
Because the longer we have people going, the more we're learning about football, the more we're learning it is hazardous to your health to even play little league football. It is not good for you. And as we get more parents who are starting to understand that, I'm telling you, esports is going to be growing as football begins to struggle.
And Norris, I'm really glad that you brought this up, because in the same way that traditional sports programs will try to enrich your life in ways that are not physical and that does not benefit the team necessarily in obvious ways on the field, through either, you know, emotional and psychological support, or whether it be through educational services, you're basically offsetting the negatives of esports by putting people into a structured and regimented physical plan to help them stay healthy. And I think, listen, if you're going to have kids competitive at video games, don't you want them in an environment where it's also monitoring their consumption and also giving them context for good, healthy behavior?
Well, I mean, we see all the time the issues with, you know, the vaunted Xbox Live thing, kids saying just horrific things to each other because that's what they're hearing. But now if we can get kids into a setting where they're playing video games in, you know, a monitored situation where they're learning sportsmanship and how to lose. Yeah, how to take a loss you know, how to be a good winner also.
Absolutely.
That, I think, does have a lot of value to it. And this is only going to be a matter of time. So even if you're out there and you're not into this, I'm telling you, as more people are becoming teachers that grow up in the millennial and Gen Z generation,
yeah,
this is going to be a thing.
And more than any of it, this is what kids want. This is what the high schoolers want.
Yeah.
And you got to meet them where they already are, and that's in the high schools.
That's right. Yeah, you got to meet them on their level. You got to meet them in their world, and you're absolutely right that this is where young people are living their lives out. But what is so interesting to me is the ratio of number of schools wanting to be involved with high school esports and the number of schools that have active football programs. That ratio is so close to one another. Do you guys think that there's actually ever going to be a day where the number of esports programs ends up outnumbering
easily
the football program?
I think that day is actually fast approaching, if for no other reason than there's a lot of schools out there that are technical focused and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to have a football program because if your football program isn't competitive, it spends a lot of money for not very much return.
Yeah, we're talking about this number only being about 1,600 behind in year one. How long has high school football been around?
That's true. Let's also consider, though, you can have regional competition, and this is definitely big enough to provide regional competition, but you can now have a really satisfying, ladder system. Yep. Where you're going to states and to, nationals and maybe even a worlds. I don't know that you can dream big for this, but I think that that's not out of the realm of possibility, and I got to hand it to PlayVersus. They have put themselves in a mighty interesting situation to be able to capitalize on that.
I mean, you mentioned them having a world championship or a national championship. We already know that ESPN is going to be hosting a high school esports championship this coming year, so that's already in place pretty much. PlayVersus just has to play into that.
That's right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. If esports came to your high school, how into it would you be? I mean, I would have jumped at this if I was in high school. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Maybe I wouldn't suck at video games as much as I do.
Well, they need a water boy as well.
Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, E3 is retooling a bunch of their show. We're going to talk about whether that is a good idea or not. But ahead next, could VR be the future of home exercise? We're going to talk about it ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Is VR the new frontier for home workouts? It's Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Wanted to give everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, and News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of programming, a ton of emotes, and a lot of really cool stuff that you can find over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. So there was an interesting article that came out from the New York Times talking about VR and the way that it could end up helping people stay healthy. And I think, if you've been a gamer for a while and you saw the phenomenon that was the Wii.
Oh, yes.
Got put into, old folks' homes.
Oh, yeah.
And, people who were not typically gamers were using it as a way to stay healthy.
My grandparents.
I don't think that this is a far-fetched idea at all.
Not only is it not far-fetched, it's one of those types of things where I think the only thing holding it back is his cost prohibitive.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
That's the only thing with VR that makes it not already the future or the present of working out at home. I mean, you already got stuff like Peloton, which is like a bike that you get with a Netflix style service installed on it. And you just go in and you.
Wait, that's an episode of Black Mirror.
That is an episode of Black Mirror.
That's
creepy.
That already exists. And you go on and you get on your little pedal bike and you demand which, you know, spin class you want, and it populates.
So the reason I think this is so interesting is because for the longest time, there's been a certain body type that's been associated with gamers. And
mine.
Yes.
I know what you're getting at, Joe.
I would say yours and larger. The Nate Plus, if you will, of the world.
Oh, called it.
So, but that's not always been the case. And I mean, even as far back as like, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, things like Dance Dance Revolution. I mean, you saw people who were freaking twigs because of that.
Well,
game.
Not just that. I mean, this phenomenon has happened a couple of times, even in the history of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Dance Dance Revolution, you're 100% correct. But even a game, an app like Pokemon Go was helping keep gamers healthy and keeping them social for like a weird like 6 months.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, yeah, this is not outside the realm of possibility at all, and has actually happened quite a few times.
Man, Pokemon Go really is crazy like that, because not only is now it has the sleep mechanic to it, right, where you can actually get rewarded for having healthy sleep patterns. Pokemon Go is trying to make us all super healthy.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that, you know, for apps like that, for games like that, I think it behooves them to start thinking about stuff like that, not just from a health aspect, but it keeps people engaged in the game. And the more that you can keep people engaged, the more people will want to play your game.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to stuff like VR, there beyond just the cost, there's a lot of effort that goes into doing anything VR, right? Because now it's like, okay, I gotta go to the thing and I cut my system on, and naturally that's where it stops. I'll cut my system on, I'm playing the game. Now I gotta put my headset on and I gotta clear out enough space
in
my
room.
Yeah,
to make sure all the extra wires, because putting the VR, as the person who has the VR, when I go back and forth between non-VR and VR, there's a lot of setup involved in
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, if we're gonna talk about something that everybody should be doing essentially every day, which is exercise, that is a lot of effort to just exercise.
Well, sure.
I think the future, though, would be that you will have a kind of dedicated VR setup in your workout space.
And
isn't that what
also needs to be? It needs to be way more accessible. Like, first of all, the size of that headset would, I guess, be the weights themselves at some point.
Yeah.
But
listen,
when you get to a point where you can just put on a small visor, yeah, maybe.
Okay, listen, I know you liked Ready Player One, but we don't need to transpose Ready Player One into real life quite yet.
I need that, actually. I'm ready for that.
I don't know that I'm... I don't know that I'm there. I don't know that I shared the same exact enthusiasm. I don't know. Maybe because I do like the more traditional route of controlling a video game. I don't know how much I want to play a video game that forces me to do a one-to-one slashing motion to be able to cut down hordes of enemies.
That's fair, although I think you were showing us the video earlier of the girl doing Beat Saber.
That's right, yeah.
That is incredible.
And she's got a bow staff.
She's got a bow staff doing it. That's not only incredible.
And she looks like Darth Maul. Like, she's doing Darth Maul moves, and it's pretty impressive.
But doing that has to be really good for you.
Oh, yeah.
Like the workout that you get doing stuff like that has to be amazing.
At the very least, it's calisthenics. At the very least, it's getting your heart rate up, and it's creating, you know, muscle elasticity because you're moving.
Can you imagine my dumbass doing something like that? I would look like Star Wars kid.
That's exactly what you would
look like. I would look exactly like Star Wars kid.
Your cat would have to go hide under the bed to keep from being cracked with the
when you give Jabba a lightsaber.
I'd have to
happen in the expanded universe,
oh,
by the way.
Stop
there's a hot Jedi.
I'd have to get in a size 42 pair of khaki pants to be able to really make the illusion complete. But no, I do think that this is, I mean, you know, it is going to kick that stereotype of your overweight, you know, basement dwelling gamer right in the face.
Right, because I think it solves one of the fundamental problems with exercising.
It's not boring. It's horribly boring.
It's incredibly boring. I didn't mind going to the gym and like lifting weights and stuff like that. But like,
Shut up. I did.
You've never even looked at a weight.
They have 5 pound weights.
Yeah. But the point is, I would much rather lift weights than listen like, oh, spend a half hour on a treadmill. That is boring as all.
No, treadmills are so boring.
Yeah. I hate, yeah.
But if you had like a VR headset on connected to it and like you could actually experience something while you're walking on a treadmill.
Walk around Middle Earth.
You know what though?
But I actually, like that, you know what? You know what? As dumb as that kind of sounds, I'd be in for it. Mm-hmm. I would. I honestly would.
It's like the VR walk from, I don't know, Bree to Rivendell.
Or like, do one of those games that's basically just a walking simulator like Dear Esther. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're actually getting, like, narrative and stuff out of it, too.
But, and even if they tried to make it something more realistic, like, yeah, walking on a treadmill is boring, but what if you could VR walking somewhere very scenic? What if you could have somewhere, like, think about like what they've done with, like, Assassin's Creed, right? Like, yeah. You could actually, like, walk through Rome or
see,
something
I would,
like
that's
that.
That's what I would love. But they've done similar things like that with, you know, these treadmills. They got the treadmills with screens like that come up to about right there, and you can walk in different cityscapes, you know, based on how fast you're moving on the treadmill. So they're kind of thinking about it that way already, but I agree with you. I think if you could put me in a fully immersive VR representation of a place that either doesn't exist or no longer exists,
yeah, when you can turn your head and actually look around,
yeah,
it's more than just like looking at a screen. If I wanted to watch a video on my treadmill, I'd put my phone right there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that, you know, treadmill designers could only ignore the fact that people were mounting their phones and their iPads to the side of treadmills for so long before they were like, okay, yeah, we should probably maybe make this a part of the design. But listen, we want to hear from you. If working out was gamified, would it make you want to work out a little bit more? I think it would work on me. I've tried the app tricks, and they don't really work, but I think something a little bit immersive, like VR, would absolutely work on me. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, E3 is changing a whole bunch, or actually considering changing a whole bunch about the way that they structure their show. We're going to break it all down ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
E3 is considering making some pretty big changes to their show, and with it being one of the largest industry trade shows in the world, we thought we would talk about it. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on The Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as The Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the Bpod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio, as well as Geek Culture Congress, both shows that you can find right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. You can also subscribe to them over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. So E3 is considering making some big changes to their event. I would think, or maybe hope, that the chief among them would be, you know, some digital security concerns.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that's it. There was a investor deck that had leaked to the media,
yep,
that had talked about some pretty significant changes that are being considered for the future of E3.
Yeah, so they had leaked that they're hoping to rebrand E3 as a fan, media, and influencer festival in 2020. They would add on an additional 10,000 badges for the public, bringing the total consumer attendance up to 25,000. This would bring the event a little bit more in line with events like Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show, which have already gone that route.
Right, which, by the way, a lot of the articles that did talk about this also revealed some of the attendance statistics of all of those different shows.
Aren't they staggering?
It is. It's surprising how
more than three times the number of attendees than E3 gets.
Well, but here's the thing, is that E3 for years was designed to be sort of like a B2B event.
Yes, it was not a trade show.
Yeah, it was a trade show. Like, and the most access that people got from it, or to it rather, was from G4's live coverage.
Yeah, here's the thing. It is, I get why they're making this move, because when you see coverage of TGS and coverage of Gamescom and you see the excitement around those events, I think E3 does want to sort of recapture the luster that they had in years past. But the number one problem, and I hate to say this, is that for as large as the LA Convention Center is, I'm not sure if they can fit 10,000 people in there.
Let alone triple what they want.
I am not sure if they can do it and do it well and do it in an organized way. Because at the big day, which I believe is that Saturday, which is the largest day, and they have it open to the public, you cannot move.
Right.
You cannot move in the convention center.
It's usually the Tuesday or the Wednesday, because it runs during the week.
During the week. But, I think the Wednesday.
And what they talked about having to do is, if they went this route, they would need to look at a more bifurcated approach, where they would have like the industry only day, press only day, and then the rest of the show would be opened up to the consumers.
Right.
Which is, I mean, it used to be an industry only, to be frank.
Right, for a long time, yeah.
But even now, like, they usually open it up early for, industry and press. That would actually be a very interesting way of tackling the problem. You know, they don't want to lose E3 being the place to release your games, right?
Well, right. Yeah.
And that, despite the fact that they don't have, like, the consumer numbers that maybe something like Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show does, the biggest announcements happen at E3.
They do.
Every year.
I mean, and you'd think that's something that they could bank on, because the fact that all the big announcements happen at E3 and then just sort of get regurgitated at things like Gamescom, the Tokyo Game Show, I feel like that would give them an advantage if they were more organized like some of those other shows were.
Right. Well, and I think that the attendance statistics have far less to do with how many people are willing to go or willing to buy tickets, and far more to do with how many people they're willing to let in to that environment.
That's fair.
Because listen, you can impress me with attendance statistics from Gamescom all you want. The only thing that I care about as a journalist is what's the news coming out of there. Mm-hmm. And we just went through all three of the big industry events just recently, and still this year, As much as E3 has been derided, it still had way, way more announcements and newsworthy items than Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show combined.
And that's without the presence of Sony.
And here's the point. We spent a month leading up to E3 doing coverage of E3.
Yeah.
And we spent the entire show that week dedicated to E3 coverage. Tokyo Game Show and Gamescom got a segment each.
But
yes.
But the thing is also is that, from a business standpoint, the ESA and E3 are going to be looking at this like, how do we recoup not just recoup the luster, but how do we get more people in the door? Because stuff like PAX is taking a lot of people to have to make a decision of, I got one event I can go to this year. And there are a lot of people who do that. We're all involved in the press, so we get invites and there are a lot of people who make the decision to go to PAX because it is consumer
facing. Lot of attendees. But the difference is you get Sony that says, okay, we're skipping E3 this year. You got Blizzard and Activision, we're not going to put anything up this year.
Well, they never do.
They're not going to PAX. That's true. Doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like PAX is winning where E3 is losing. And you hear these PAX standers out there on Twitch going, well, E3 is dead. It's all about PAX. Okay, show me the newsworthy items that are coming out of PAX. Show me the announcements that are coming out of PAX.
It depends on
show me the people. Show me the companies that are not showing up to E3 that are coming out to PAX instead. That is non-existent. So that line of logic is rubbish.
Yeah, I look at this. The reason I think it actually would behoove them to actually turn more towards that fan media influencer thing is because at the end of the day, there are way more people that you would call press today than there were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Anyone with a phone who can access their Twitch channel is potential press at this point. You have to kind of be willing to meet people where they are. We've talked about that.
And if you can get those people in, you don't have to pay them a dime. And not only are they coming to cover your stuff, that if you are doing this more as like a fan event, now you have merch, and those same people that you're talking about who have blogs or YouTube channels are also going to pay you money.
It's free coverage, and they're paying you to get free coverage of your event. So
here's the problem.
Here's the thing. I don't have an issue with that. I think that's a smart thing for them to do.
It's smart, but fundamental. Mentally lazy, because just saying, hey, bloggers, Twitch streamers, come here and do your thing here and tell your followers about it. If you do it without any structure, that means that it's going to have no meaning whatsoever. All of these different people are going to be fighting for little scraps of information, little exclusive interviews here and there, and it's going to be piecemealed together. What they need is a much more concentrated effort on those folks, the influencers, the media types, to get them into positions that are unique and therefore much more interesting to their audience.
That's why you give a media day.
Yes.
That's why you do a media only day.
Yes, thank you.
Where you have people with the nuance who come in, who break the stories, who do all the stuff that said, hey, you know, this is context that we could give to it.
Yeah.
And then you do the everybody else day.
Because if they're not having a good time, you can have exactly what you did these past 2 years, which is the 2 years that had the, you know, let general admission in. And that's the media people going E3 8-1 it used to be. You go there and you stand in line. You don't get any access.
That's a lot
you can't
do
anything.
But you know what? That's a lot of poo-pooing. And
that's
a lot of sour grapes because they feel
it's
like that
still not help, but it's still not helping E3.
But yeah, first of all, it's helping E3 because they made money. So it helps E3. They made money as opposed to just inviting press. So it helps them.
Well,
but the big thing is that the thing about the press, and we've said it and we've said, hey, yeah, it's difficult to get certain news out of E3 because of the sheer volume of people. But at the same time, you can't say that inviting the public to E3 hasn't had a positive effect.
That
event.
You're right. I'm not saying that. I was actually trying to agree with you that you need a media day as well. You can't just throw everything in there and say we're getting the
all
best
right,
out
fine.
Of both sides.
Well, what do you think? Do you think that there needs to be a structured media day for E3, or should it just go back to being like an industry press event? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.